see right through the mess inside me. But you call me out again. You tell me I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known. In love by you, you won't let go. No matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. Hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. Oh, but you got my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof. I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known and loved by you. You wanna go. No matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? I cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? I cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what I do. And it's not one nor the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what I do. And it's not one nor the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Tanya Schroer.
Please be seated. Yesterday was Seth's birthday, his once-in-a-lifetime birthday. He was 8 on the 8th of June. I had to pick him up from tutoring, and we're driving in the car, and I said, "Hey, happy birthday, buddy." And he goes, "It's not my birthday. The party's tomorrow." I said, "Well, it's your birthday. Whenever the party is, doesn't matter." So he's in learning mode. And the day before his birthday, he crashed and burned on the neighbor's scooter. Like, he said it went 30 miles an hour. Of course, he's wearing shorts on asphalt, and the neighbor boy comes running, and Jeff goes to get him, brings him back, and blood and all that everywhere. So we're in the car on his birthday, and I said, "Listen, we need to change that bandage on your knee. I could see all that blood through there." And he goes, "Oh, no, we don't. Dad said we could do it tomorrow." I said, "No, we're going to do it once a day, and we're going to change it when we get home." He goes, "Well, Dad said," and I said, "Well, I said." He goes, "Well, I thought he called the shots around here." I said, "He does, but not when it comes to the medical, because I'm the nurse." He goes, "Oh, okay." So Jeff was tickled to hear that he has officially got it straight, that he calls the shots at our house. It was so cute. He was real serious, though. I thought he called the shots. I said, "Okay." So we're getting that all worked out. Who else has a birthday in June? Let's see birthdays. Oh, George. George has a birthday. This is it. One. Sue Dill is tomorrow. So, oh, Sienna, you were 2 days ago, right? So come out here and say hi. She's learning how to do live streaming. Sienna. She just moved here from Utah. She is the girlfriend and future fiance of Michael Marsh. I'm giving things away. It's just all good. Next week, I will not be here. Jeff and I are going to fly down to North Carolina to go to Mr. John Braxton's 100th birthday party. And he asked me a year ago to come to his party. I've told that story. I won't tell it today, but I will say this much. I said, I'll come to your party if you're having cake. And he says, Law, girl, I took one look at yous and know you like cake. Now, when you're 100, you can say that. He was 99. He can say that, too. And he said, now, I want you to come. I don't want you to bring your husband because I want you to have a good time. So I'm bringing my husband. But we're excited to go spend time with him. And we met him at Vicki Allen's ordination. He was there. And he asked, his daughter texted me this morning and said, he asked if you were coming. He remembered you. He said, is that preacher lady coming? I've got some things to talk to her about. So we're going to have big time, North Carolina, next week. And then actually I might be gone for a little time. Then I'll be heading out to California. Kristen graduates from her second year in the School of Supernatural Ministry. And thanks to those of you that prayed for her while she was in Cambodia and Thailand. She came back successfully. That's good. And then we'll be meeting for our India trip when we're out there. So that's the ladies that we'll be heading over, and we'll be taking all those talking solar Bibles to the women in India that are working in leadership. So we're excited that we're all a part of that together. All right, we're going to zip through some verses, and you're going to get an idea what we're doing by the time we get to the end, I hope. All right, you think so? Let's go for it. And you have these, right, Case? You're set? Let's start in 1 Timothy 3:16. Hello to all of our live streamers also, near and far. Without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. He was revealed in flesh, vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, and taken up in glory. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at our first one, Luke 30. Luke 1, I'm sorry, verse chapter 1, 30 through 33. I knew I needed to give you notes for a reason, Casey. Keep me on track today. Angels predicted the birth of Jesus, and the angel said unto her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's an angel. Number two, Luke 2, Luke 2, 13 and 14. Angels were present. Not only did they announce his coming, but they were present at the birth. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors. I'm trying to convince you of something. The biggest thing that comes against us, I believe, as children of the Father and brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus, is unbelief. It's unbelief. Unbelief gets me in every mess that I get in. It's the door to condemnation. It's the door to all the questioning that brings a crack in the ice. A crack in the ice. It's a weapon that the other kingdom uses. Unbelief needs to be convinced over and over. And it likes to study a lot, too. It does. It likes to study a lot and never gets an answer. It's always studying and never arriving. Now, am I saying studying's wrong? That's not what I'm saying. But it's an unfulfilled quest. It's a killer of dreams. I want to stand up and be sure. And it's amazing to me how when people have authority, they can say something that all of a sudden poisons the well, or people just discount something or won't even look in that direction anymore. I was told years ago when I was little that I had a guardian angel until the time I was born again, and that was it. I didn't need him anymore. It's all done. Never looked at him, thought about it, considered it, Nothing. All I cared about was that we don't want to worship angels. So if anybody wore a pin or said they talked about an angel or whatever, my mind just said, oh, you're worshiping angels. Must have a devil spirit attached to it. You know, just totally discounted that. And we're struggling with warfare in a personal fight all the time because we're not allowing the weapons of the kingdom to work for us. We're not convinced. I want to be convinced. I want you to be convinced. And there's not a subject in the word, maybe money, but angels are addressed. It is, you see them ministering in the Old Testament. You see them ministering in the life of Jesus. Let me ask you this. Are they ministering in your life?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Ooh, I'm getting a chill. The front center section is with me. I mean, these are things you have to ask. I don't mean just know about them. Are they allowed to be acknowledged? And are they allowed? Do you consider them able ministers with you? It says in the word they're fellow laborers with us.
Absolutely.
Fellow laborers, absolutely. I want us to be convinced. I want to stand up and, you know, I want to be able to read it and believe it and hear it and know it. And the same way for things that maybe aren't right. Follow that leading of the Holy Spirit that you have. So we're going to go through these verses because I want you to see that if they were there for Jesus, they're there for you. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. Right, Miss Judy? That goes back to something else we did in Israel, doesn't it? That's a whole water baptism talk. If you don't know about water baptism, then you ask the Holy Spirit what you think about that and maybe consider some things. But Jesus and Judy did not miss that opportunity, right, Judy? All right, so let's look at 3, Matthew 2, 19 through 20. I don't know if I read the last one. Yeah, I did. Matthew 2, 19 through 20. When Herod died, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. In a dream, folks, and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. An angel warned Joseph about Herod's plot to kill Jesus. In a dream. Matthew, I think it's Matthew 7:7. We'll get there. We'll get to that about asking. 4, Matthew 4:11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. This was when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. Angels ministered to him. The reason this subject, I mean, it's always on my heart and my spirit, angels. And in ministry, it comes up all the time that in spiritual vision, you'll see angels there for people. Absolutely see them in the spirit. And some of our children, two of them in particular, have battled some physical issues. And I'm like, Lord, you know, we're going round and round here. I'm not sure how to help them mentally. And he just flat out said, you've neglected angels. I thought, what? I thought, oh, Lord, I haven't even really helped my own children with this. You know, and how do we help people? We talk about it. We expect it. We're convinced first. What you're convinced of is what you talk about. Right? And it should be just a part of it. And so we've talked to them. Seth's all on the angel page. You know, Jesus is the superhero, and the angels are his comrades in arms. It's a normal part of his life. But it's got to be in the weapon of our mouth and in our heart and in our mind and that expectation. Let's see. Luke 22:43. This is number 5. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. And this is when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and an angel was ministering to him. You know, relate all these things to things in your life where you've had rough times, you didn't know what to do. I mean, I love to speak in tongues, and I know that's a weapon of warfare. Today is Pentecost. But when we don't acknowledge angels, it's like you're in a jungle that's so dense you can't even move or walk. If you have that angel, which is there anyways, but you know, they do like to be acknowledged. They do like to be acknowledged. Yeah, she's giving me a little shake right there. Then somebody goes before you with a machete and cuts a path. Yeah. And when life seems so terrible, you have no clue what you've already had 10 times easier because they've gone before, around, and behind you. and beside you. They're a holy, royal guard. If the word says in Peter that we're a royal priesthood, why wouldn't we have the royal guard that Jesus has? Absolutely. Ooh, I got chill on that one. Ooh, got a little chill. I receive that. You should say those things. You know, when I hear people preach something, I hear it and it gives me a little, whoop. I say, I receive that. I'm going to get in agreement with it, because the other kingdom likes to watch and see how convinced you are. It was so wonderful to have you minister on our stage today, Leah and Andy. Wasn't that just beautiful? That's ministry. There's a scripture that talks about the angels praising God. Praise him, all his armies. Their first weapon of warfare for angels is praise. Because praise is that worship in the right direction. Do I see who I think I see back there? I do. I see Luke Scharfenberger looking like a Navy SEAL back there undercover in Afghanistan. Everybody look at Luke. I'm like, Luke, look at him. We don't know you, but we love you. I saw your smile through all that beard. Whatever mission you're on, I've just ruined it. I gave away your disguise. Oh, Matthew 26:53. Do you think that I cannot now appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? And this was before he was betrayed. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, after the ear gets cut off and all that, and they're coming to arrest him. We can't ask for that, expect that. When we did Luke 22, that an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. Why wouldn't I say, Lord, I'm expecting these angels, send them, I need them now. Why wouldn't we expect them every day? Because every day can be hard sometimes. The Dills have been through quite a challenge with what went on out there with the tornadoes coming through. I went to my annual ladies checkup this week. I had a new lady. My doctor ditched me after 25 years, just moved to Florida. What is that? I really wanted to call him and have a talk with him. He's my age. I'm like, you don't need to be retiring now. Anyways, he went to Florida. I get a new girl, a nurse practitioner. So I'm talking to her. I said, where are you from? She said, well, I'm from Greenville and I live in Arcanum. I said, oh, we have a pastor that I work with and he lives over in Hollinsburg. Oh, well, who is it? I told her. She knows them. And I said, oh, and she goes, I heard what happened at their farm. And they really got a lot of damage. I said, yeah. And so I tell her how they're sitting in the living room. They hear a noise, a loud noise. The electric's out. They're thinking, you know, maybe we ought to go to the cellar. Tom goes out to check the breezeway, where there's this huge building with cars and combines. I think the combine might have been somewhere else this time. Opens the door, and the building is, you know, walls are gone. The entire thing's on the floor. That building is as big as this room here, or bigger. Probably the biggest this room, and out there too. The whole thing's flat, gone, down. Two huge trees, probably 40-foot trees in the front of the house that fell, totally uprooted and fell the opposite way when they could have fell right in the house. Now, I am telling this to this girl. Her eyes are huge, and she said, it must have been angels. Now, this is the girl, this is what she says to me, it must have been angels. I said, well, it's funny you said that, because there are angels at their house. I've seen them for years, yes. She goes, they could have died. I said, yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about that. I mean, they're sitting 30 feet away over in the other room. She said, it must have been angels. I don't know what she believes. I don't know where she goes to church. I don't care. But when she said that, I thought, well, yes, thank you, Jesus, that we have access to the angels that he's in charge of. Oh my goodness, one of my favorite gifts, it was from Marilyn and Robert Parker, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, and they will hold you up with their hands. Psalm 91:11-12, and I love it. It's in that I call it the glory, when you see the silver and the gold or the white, the glory. And Mike and Judy, they have an entire ministry of angels. They pass out this little card, 91:11, for he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I keep three of my favorite ones right on my desk, a little burgundy one and a little turquoise, a little white one in my dish that says fearless. Fearless. And what's our gal's name that works with those and makes them?
Angie Patterson
from Troy. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Because it reminds us. What a trick to say, if I wore that, I must be worshiping them. Well, why couldn't we wear that and say we're letting people know what's available? We're reminding them. The same thing about a cross. My kids wear crosses. They're like, Mom, I get into more conversations over my cross for the Lord Jesus than any other piece of jewelry I wear. You can flip anything to bring glory to the kingdom. Amen. All right, so where are we at? I don't even know. We are in number seven, Matthew 28:2. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, look at that, the earthquake is associated with the angel in a positive way, descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. This is from the tomb. Open up the tomb. Matthew 28:5-6. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Wow, they know things. They're holy angels. They bring God. They bring kingdom when they come. He made them. It's his deal. We're talking pure Holy Spirit power, folks. He is not here, for he has been raised, and just as he said, come and see the place where he was laying. An angel announcing the resurrection. Think of all the major things in your life, and the angels have been there. Angels have been there. I have this book. I went into Billy Graham's museum with my mom in North Carolina, and part of it, it's his house, it's his home. Went in there, and as we're in the living room, there's a hutch, a curio cabinet, and in it is this book. And the minute I saw it, I wanted it. And I told the lady that was in charge of that room, I said, I want that book. Well, she said, well, Lord, you can't have that book. I said, well, I know, but where do I get that book? She said, well, you can go to the bookstore and get it, but it's not the original. They've changed it. No, there's no, you know, the originals aren't, it's all updated, changed, whatever. And I saw this and I said, well, I want one of those. So, of course, I went to the bookstore, didn't even buy the one they had in there, because I'm like, no, I don't want that. I want the original. I literally, 2 days later, I'm still in North Carolina, we go to do an open meeting, fellowship meeting. We're sitting at dinner, and Pastor Chuck Dietland leans over and he said, you know, this is the craziest thing. I was at a garage sale the other week, and the Lord said, I needed to buy you this. It cost a whole quarter, and if you don't want it, you can give it away. But I got you this, and he presented this to me. It's the book. That's the book. Within 2 days, I had it. And I didn't doubt I was going to get it. I didn't even cave and buy that just in case. I'm like, no, I want the real deal. 1975 edition, Billy Graham, Angels, God's Secret Agents. Wow. Let me read you something from this book. There's a tragic and widespread ignorance, even among Christians, concerning the biblical teaching about these supernatural beings. As a result, the average person has a totally distorted picture of these spirit beings, and all kinds of pagan superstitions have been accepted even by Christians. One of the most comforting truths in the Bible to me, as I travel from one part of the world to another, is to know that God has stationed his heavenly guards to protect, guide, and lead me through life's dangerous way. I cannot see these beings with my physical eyes, but I sense they are present every day. Now, I got a chill reading that. I want to sense that they're present every day. How are you going to start that rolling? Well, first you got to go to the scriptures and you got to actually believe what you're reading. And people give testimonies. You better just say, I'm on board with that. You say, Lord, I want to see them. Why not? I want to know how they've worked in my life. I want to be assured. Why not? In the book, he mentions this incident. When he was visiting American troops during the Korean War and was told of a small group of American Marines who had been trapped in North Korea with the thermometer 20 below zero, one of the men, a praying Christian, related how they had not eaten for 6 days when a wild boar came rushing towards them. Suddenly, it stopped and dropped dead. Later, there was a mysterious appearance of what appeared to be a South Korean who spoke English and told them, I will lead you out. And he led them through forest and mountains to safety. And when they looked around to thank him, he had vanished. He was an angel sent by God to deliver them from their enemy. And it says they believed it was an angel. You know, you may not get an absolute written confirmation in the mail from the Holy Spirit. Let me update you on your condition. You did have a visit by an angel. I mean, the word talks about entertaining angels unaware. Unaware. So can we be unaware and still have belief? Because I don't want unaware with unbelief. Does that make sense? That's what we do. I want to be unaware and have belief. See, we live, our true realm of reality is the unseen. All this other stuff is silliness. It's temporal. Oh, we can go preach a whole bunch of stuff there. There's a book also written. His name is John G. Patton, P-A-T-O-N, not like the general's name. I love this one. One night, a group of hosting natives surrounded his mission headquarters, intending to drive him and his wife out of the building by burning it to the ground and then killing them. He and his wife prayed all during the night for deliverance, and when the sun arose, they were amazed to see the attackers had suddenly departed without inflicting any harm. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ. Mr. Patton asked him what happened that night. He and his tribesmen surrounded the mission headquarters and then left in the morning without damaging the building or harming them. "Who were all those men you had with you?" the chief asked. And Patton told him there was no man with him, only himself and his wife. But the chief insisted that there were hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords standing guard. And it was then that Mr. Patton realized God had sent intervention. You know, and look at the record of Elijah. These records in the Word open their spiritual eyes that they can see. When we're in the worst of times, I mean, listen, if I'm not going to be alive, if I'm going to have to go sleep with Jesus, I'm going to be escorted by the angels. I'm just telling you that. I've preached this before. How many people are in a state where you're in a coma, your faculties, your body has physically worn out, everybody else has taken care of you, they think you can't hear or see or talk or whatever. All that brings is fear, uncertainty, and unbelief. There's not a gap for believers when you're believers. You don't have to have a gap of unbelief come in and swoop you away or mess up God's plan. Angels are absolutely filling in the gaps. We talk about standing in the gap for someone. Well, what do we think angels do? I'm going to have a holy angel escort to sleeping in Jesus. Anybody else going to get on that train? I'm going to be escorted to sleeping in Jesus with angels. Absolutely. What's your other alternative? I guess I wasn't good enough. I feel so alone. These are the times we say, "Lord, Lord, show me something. Remind me. Help me get my mouth in agreement, my heart, my mind." What were we on? Number 8? Let's look at 9. Acts. I tell you, go read the book of Acts. It's filled with angel activity. It's like filled with angel activity. We could teach a whole year just record by record by record of angels. How silly were we to believe, "Oh, that's done. I don't need that. I'm good." Yeah, I'm not good without Jesus. And I need constant help and reminders. Acts 1:10, while he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They were escorting. They have lots of jobs. 10. Matthew 24:31, "And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And this is talking about Christ's second coming. Sounds exciting. 11, 2 Thessalonians 1:6-7. "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels." Woo, I receive that too. Matthew 13:41-49. "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous." separate the unrighteous from the righteous. Luke 12:8, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man, also will I acknowledge before the angels of God. Jesus acknowledges us before God. Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Let's say this together. The angels are for me. They're watching out. They got my back, my side, and my front. Yeah, all the way around. All the way around. In one of the old, I didn't look this up, but it's in, you can go find it. In the Old Testament, I think it might be in Jeremiah, but it talks about the Holy Spirit coming as a whirlwind. We haven't looked at that about angels too, but it also talks about them being like flaming fire, like wind. So listen, whatever you got, the Holy Spirit can take it away in a whirlwind. And he can put you in the whirlwind and surround you with angels. If you really want to minister to people, allow yourself to see in the spirit all the kingdom really is. I mean, we're past just seeing Jesus. Every one of you should right now be able to close your eyes. Let's close your eyes right now. You have an imagination. You can absolutely picture the Lord Jesus hugging you right now. I minister to all of us that we will absolutely be loosed in prophetic vision to see the Lord Jesus hugging us, interacting with us, communicating with us. All fear leaves in Jesus' name. Unbelief, anything that is against Jesus has to go. We lose prophetic vision in all of us to be able to minister angels to your people, Jesus. That if you show them to us in spiritual vision, we will be able to translate it, communicate it, and tell people the good news of what the kingdom has. In Jesus' name. This isn't about us. What are you able to tell other people? You might need to say to them, listen, there's an angel that comes and sits by your bed every darn night. You're having all these nightmares and terrors. He sent an angel for you. I mean, you don't make stuff up. You just say, okay, Lord, what do I need to reveal to them? What's there for them? And you don't have to make it up. I'm going to go see the gentleman that's 100. I said to his daughter, you know what? I'm going to ask the Lord what I want, what he wants to say to him specifically. The minute that guy said he needed to talk to me about something, he doesn't know me at all. I met him, you know, face to face for 10 or 15 minutes with Tom Dill. But what's reminding him about me is the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit. I am fully prepared to talk to him about angels, death, whatever. I said, well, Lord, right away, I said, what's this about? And he said, he needs to be able to transition. So I'm got my little pen. I'm going to write it down. I'm not going to mess it up. The Lord's got something to say to this man after 100 years of, he said he has been faithful among few. Faithful among few. Look at that. Get chills all over me. See, and the Lord has somebody for us like that too. As much as we do it for others, there's people for us too. How we minister. All right. Lord, I keep getting lost in all these. There's so many. Oh, glory. Here you go. 2 Kings 19:34-35. I will defend. This is God saying, I will defend this city and save it. You know, think about that with all they talk about our world and the destruction and the things to come and all the fear. I believe this is what the Lord will do for me in the city I'm in. For my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. So you get fear about what's coming or what's going to happen if the politics all go to heck in a handbasket. That's just silliness. All this arguing about stuff that you just waste time on. You read this and you say, God says he will defend my city and save it for my sake and for the sake of Tanya, my servant. You put your name in there. Own it. Take it. Listen to this, 35. That night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. And when the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Now, as awful as that sounds, that comforts me. I don't care who's in charge. Angels don't play by your rules. They answer to the kingdom. They answer to the Father. They're on assignment. And I am directly in their path. We're first up on the roster, just like Jesus, folks. They're not going to run over and take care of a bunch of other stuff and ignore us. Call out what you want. Lord, I've been stolen from. I need these angels to go out there and get my harvest and bring it back. Who do you think does his work? We put it all on our own selves. Oh, I'm not getting answers. I'm not getting what I need. Well, start calling on what the kingdom's already given you. It's there. Oh, Lord. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. And I want to read this one again to you because I'm so tickled with this one. Matthew 26, then the men in 50, Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. And with that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And here's Jesus' response. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? So here, let me talk about something else. Everybody gets their panties in a wad about, well, you can't call for the angels yourself. You have to have God call for them and Jesus call for them. Listen, when you know the truth, it's an absolute. Jesus knows your heart. The Father knows your heart. It's implied. And I know it because one time the Fradys were in North Carolina and he had texted me a couple years ago, we're having all these storms. It's bad. Trees are down. A tree fell on my daughter's car. She can't get through the road. I mean, this stuff is coming like crazy. Pray. And I sent back a prayer and it, out of me was all this stuff about angels. I said, oh, okay. And the Lord said, that's not enough. That's not enough. I'm like, what are they? He said, send them. Send them. And I'm like, what? And I saw myself on my front porch throw my hand out and send them. And it was implied, what are you asking me for? I've already told you you have authority. I already told you they're for you. Send them already. Why are you calling asking me for permission? Just do it. Y'all good with that? He knows your heart. It's implied. Yes, I'm honoring God. Yes, I'm asking. He knows. If just use the weapons, people. You know, you're in the trenches and you're in the middle of shooting stuff and you've been trained how to do it. You know everything that's available and you say, oh, wait, I really can't shoot the enemy that's coming over the foxhole that's right here until I make sure I check with the boss over here that it's okay because I don't want to get out of order of not getting permission in the chain of command. You're dead by now. It's all done. It was ugly. You're waiting on Jesus. Haven't you ever done that? I've done that. You know, I followed all the rules and went the chain of command and didn't want to upset anybody. And it was just ridiculous. I should have just did it because I had the authority from Jesus already. Like, we don't have to waste time. So I hope that helps you to some degree. Just send them already. Just ask them already. God knows you're not worshiping him. He knows you're not subverting him or Jesus. Just go for it. There aren't rules in the kingdom that are bondage rules. They're freedom rules. So we just got to get over ourselves and have some fun. Have some fun. Have some fun. It was Psalm 148:2. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. So I ask you, angels ministered in the Old Testament. They ministered in the life of Jesus Christ. Do they minister in yours? And I'll leave you with Psalm 91:11-13, and this is the Passion Translation. God sends with special orders angels. God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. And we'll do Revelation 19:10, just so you feel okay about the message today. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. So let us incorporate all kingdom weapons. And listen, we got to get over our own selves. We've got to preach this, teach this, live this, talk this to people that are, they're just limping. People that are called to be generals in the army for the Holy Spirit and think they have it all, yet we're not calling and recognizing what the angels are doing. Absolutely, we've got to get that back on people's hearts and minds and on their lips and quit being worried about all the things we've heard in the past, all these rules and regulations. Half the people there that told you that are sleeping in Jesus anyways. Somebody asked me 2 weeks ago what their problem was, why they couldn't get their breakthrough. And I was in rare form that day. I said, do you want to know or not? Because I'm done with all the phone calls. I'm done with being your crutch. I'm done. You know, and I asked them, you want to hear it? There was a long pause. I said, the problem is this, and I used to be where you're at. You have said another man's name more than I've ever heard the name of Jesus in this call or any call we've ever had. And I'm done. Like, I can't even stand to hear it anymore. You're worshiping a man. Go read all those books. Go listen to all those old tapes that are so old they're falling apart, because I don't think it's alive anymore. And Jesus is. And that's who we talk to, and that's who leads us. And it can be anything for anybody. The Lord called me out years ago for saying Joyce Meyer's name too much. I love her. She ministers to me. We're very similar. He's like, you're saying her name too much. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Okay. You know, just keep it in bounds and keep freedom, but let's not neglect to acknowledge and minister with us, these angels. Amen? Sure love you guys.
Lord, we're just so thankful today. We humbly submit our will to you, to allow you to be our supply, our protection, to set our sights on things above, not on the temporal things, but to allow your vision to live in us so we can act on it and speak it. Thank you, Lord, where we have areas of unbelief for showing it to us, but help us just give that to you too. Because we all have it. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We trust you. We love you. We are just so thankful today for what you do and what you will continue to do for us. How you will get the impossible to us so that we can serve you in a bigger way. We give you thanks today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. You know what's so awesome about how God works in our lives? No matter where we are in our trials in life, we could be on top of the mountain, the king of our castle, we've got everything that we need. Anybody that comes up to us, you know, we've got the Spirit working in us. We touch people and they're getting healed. We touch people's wallets and they're getting prosperous. I mean, we could be at the pinnacle. You know, Jesus could have his arm right around us, and we're just like, yes, yes. You know, praying, waking up in the morning, put your feet on the floor. You're like, all right, God, what's the next step, right? That's where I want to be, right? But sometimes I'm not there. Sometimes I am in the muck up to my nose nostril, right? And I'm taking, it's almost like I'm at my last breath, but I can still pray. I can still get out of that. And so what we learned today was through Pentecost, we learned that the Holy Spirit is with us, right? And we can hear words from God. We learned from Tanya how the kingdom, there's another tool in the kingdom, and that's the angels. And Tom was sharing with me a little bit that, you know, it's cool to see an actual angel. He showed me a stump that was carved into an angel on someone's property. We drove by and he's pointing at it, slowing way down. I'm like, okay, Tom, I got it. Okay, I'll take a look. All right, got it. And so angels are part of the kingdom and they do bridge us. And sometimes when we have that other nostril getting stuck with the muck and mire and we're sinking lower and lower, We could say, all right, you know, there's an angel that's going to bridge some gaps here. Let me look at Jesus. Let me focus to him a little bit more, and let me praise and worship, right? And so I'm excited for you guys this week. I'm excited for you guys. I'll be praying with you. Give me a call if you need anything. And just have a great week.
You see right through the mess inside me, but you call me out again. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.